Our gospel from Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So, shortly after Greg and I announced that we were expecting, we also announced that we were having a baby girl, and that we were planning to name her Hadley Margaret. It was funny, we had some who were surprised we had already chosen a name for our daughter, but for us, the names had been chosen for more than a year. By the time we found out we were expecting, the truth is, we had actually given up on having children naturally. Because of health issues I have, we didn't think it would be possible. In many ways, for us, it was a lonely and difficult time. It was heartbreaking, and we realized our hopes for the names we had chosen might never happen. And it's a difficult topic to discuss with others. People tell you not to worry, who knows what might happen, but it's rare to find those who could just be with us in that kind of struggle. And so together, we spent time on names. And so even though we didn't ever think we'd get to name a baby girl or a baby boy, the names were already decided months and months before we were surprised to find that we would get to actually name a child. We chose our potential future daughter the name Hadley Margaret, Hadley after the wife and inspiration of one of my favorite authors, and Margaret after my mother and Greg's grandmother. So when reading today's scripture text, when reading of how Jesus got his name, and the prophecy from Isaiah around names, I couldn't help but think of these names my husband and I held in our hearts. The angel tells Joseph the name of his future son, because of the meaning of the name, that because Jesus will save his people from sin, he is to be named Jesus, Yeshua, meaning God is generous, God saves, Savior, Deliverer. I hadn't even thought to look up the meaning of Hadley Margaret until after I read this text from Matthew. So I started wondering, because I know that I was named after a character from a book my mom loved, I know my sisters were named after family members, I started wondering how often we actually name our children based on the meaning of the name. So I took to Facebook. I posted that I was working on a sermon for this week and was curious, why did your parents choose your name, and if you are a parent, why did you choose the name of your child? I was curious because in Scripture, names are often chosen based on their meaning, and that's not how we do it anymore. Out of more than 60 responses, about 65% were given their name or chose a name for their child based on a family member or friend. About 25% were given their name or chose a name based on their interests, like naming after the favorite character of a book, a story from Scripture. One person was named after John Wayne, because his dad really liked him. And then another was named after a pilot from an 80s TV show called Airwolf. It was interesting to see the ways in which we chose names. Just under 10% were given their names simply because their parents had liked it, had heard it somewhere, and decided that would be the name they would choose. And so I found it interesting because no one out of the 60 plus responses was named or chosen name based on the name's meaning. So often in scripture, that's how names are chosen, and many of these names are part of Jesus' lineage. The lectionary, the calendar of scriptures for each Sunday, skips the first 17 verses of Matthew. Those verses are the genealogy leading up to the Genesis of Jesus. Now, we usually skip over these names because it's a bunch of names of people we don't really know, and we don't know who they are, and I promise I won't make us read it today. I know it's going to be long and tiresome. It's 14 generations of names. But I want to point out a few. Because Matthew's genealogy is not just a list. It doesn't just show us the lineage of Jesus all the way back to Abraham. It's not just for fulfillment of prophecy. It's filled with those names that were chosen because of their meaning, because of the hopes that were held in them. And it was filled with names of people we often forget. Born from Abraham, from the one whom God promised to bless and to make a blessing, was Isaac, who was named because of the laughter his mother experienced. Isaac's son Jacob was named because he grasped the heel of his brother when he was born. One of Jacob's children bore Moses, who was named because he was pulled from the water. Another of Jacob's children bore Judah, whose name meant praise, and whose name would be the basis for the word Judaism. Throughout this long lineage in the beginning of chapter 1, there are names whose meanings we don't know, whose names we forget, particularly the names of women who didn't get to choose their children's names. This genealogy holds the names of women like Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Each of their names are part of Jesus' lineage. Women who struggled, who experienced loneliness, difficulties, heartache, who had experiences that they couldn't share with others. These names, the ones we recognize and the ones we don't, all lead us to a name. They lead us to Jesus, named because he will save his people. The angel tells Joseph, "Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Mary and Joseph did not have names chosen for months before this moment. They hadn't spent hours or days wondering what their future would hold. They weren't even married yet. They didn't think about family names or names they heard and liked. They hadn't thought about their hopes for their child, about what their child's future might hold. A child at all was nowhere on their minds. And here comes Jesus. This child was more of a surprise than either of them could have imagined, and Joseph was planning on leaving Mary because of it. So before he could leave, before Mary could even begin to have a conversation with him about staying together or naming the child, an angel appears to Joseph. And that angel tells Joseph, this lineage of names, this genealogy is coming to us in Jesus through you. That this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That this child's future, this child's hope, is not just something that Mary and Joseph might think about as parents, but God is thinking about as a parent. So through the angel, God tells Joseph to name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, because he will be the Savior, the Deliverer, because God is generous, and because God saves. Matthew continues and tells us that this all took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. The gospel writer quotes our Isaiah text saying, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." Matthew tells us this and tells us Emmanuel in Hebrew means God is with us. And you might be thinking, hey, wait. That doesn't seem to make sense because the angel told Joseph the name would be Jesus. In Hebrew, that's Yeshua. It sounds nothing like Emmanuel. And you're right. So if Matthew is telling us this because the way in which Jesus is born fulfills this prophecy, then why don't the names match? We know how important names are in Scripture, in their lineage, in their meaning, and sometimes in their absence of meaning. So how does this fulfill prophecy? The answer is that in both Isaiah and Matthew, in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's not just that they will name him Emmanuel, it's that they shall call his name, they shall call him Emmanuel, they shall call him God with us. Because this child, whose parents hadn't even begun to have hopes for his name, this child born a surprise, born from a legacy of names and meanings conceived by the power of God, named for our salvation, this child is God. Jesus fulfills the prophecy from Isaiah because Jesus is Emmanuel, born of a virgin and the Holy Spirit to be the one who saves us from sin, to be the one who delivers, because God is generous, because God saves. Because it's God's love, God's generosity that sent God's Son. It's this love, this saving grace that God becomes incarnate in the Christ child. Next week, we celebrate God being born into this world, to live with tears and laughter, to experience humanity at its best in his life and at its worst in his death on the cross. Next week at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, born to save the world from sin and death by experiencing it and overcoming it through resurrection. This season before Christmas, the season of Advent, isn't always easy. There are plenty of people who are experiencing times of loneliness and difficulty, like my husband and I experienced. And although we are excited to praise God's name, we look forward to that celebration, it still can be a heartbreaking time for us. But part of this Christmas promise, part of these words from the angel in Matthew are meant to remind us, during this season, we are not alone. That the promise we celebrate at Christmas, the promise of resurrection, of salvation, of grace, comes to us first as a child because God comes to us beside us. To tell you that you are loved, to tell you that you are not alone, to experience that loneliness with you, to experience those difficulties and that struggle with you, to experience heartache among us. Because the prophecy has been fulfilled in his name. Because God is with you, God is for you. The Christ child can only be Jesus, the deliverer. Emmanuel, God with us, so that this week before Christmas we pray, come, O come, Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Amen.